Hour three. Triple option with RBKD. It's a Motown Thursday. You know, Rod always likes to have fun with me. He can feel me feeling music because I do feel it and I jam to it. You're a big Sam Cooke guy. You were feeling this right away.
I love Sam Cooke.
Yeah, as you should.
He is really underrated in terms of the overall genre of soul music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that. But he was taken too early, like a lot of great artists.
Yep, like a lot of the great ones.
Like a lot of great ones. Great Netflix documentary. I don't know exactly. It's like Who Killed Sam Cooke or The Night Sam Cooke Died, something like that. Really good. You should check it out if you got a chance.
It's Rod Babers. He gives us a lot of great information, including what to watch on Netflix. He always has some good stuff like that. We got Brad Kellner. He gives us pretty much everything. The MVP.
The MVP
of the show. Wow. No doubt about that. And I'm Kevin Dunn. Two in, two to go. Before we get back to some Texas football, because we're going to get to the defensive side here a little bit and talk and hear from David Benda and talk about that a little bit. Jeff Bryant, I do Bryant AC and Electric ads, and I love them. I love the family. They do great work, so get to BryantACService.com. He texted me and said, hey, the National Weather Report interrupted one and done.
Man.
You know what? I'm sick of all these weather reports. I'm sick of if a kid got lost in El Paso, I understand if it's near me, just completely taking away my TV schedule. This is an incredibly entitled first world problem, but it's still a problem. I was rewatching a game today, trying to clear out my DVR, because you guys know that's essentially half my life.
What percentage is available to record something right now?
They told me I lost a percent. Like, I'm at 109. I'm -9, pretty much. You can't get that.
You're at like 99.99%
almost all the time, man.
That's so irresponsible.
It's not irresponsible, because it'd be irresponsible if it's my bank account or something real. And I'm going to be irresponsible with stuff that I can. I'm not going to do it with stuff that
just
I can.
Delete the stuff.
No, it's gold, Jerry. It's gold.
But you got another season coming up. You got baseball playoffs coming up.
I got a whole week
college World
football.
Series coming
I know,
up.
I know.
What are you going to do?
Hopefully, I'll be taping that.
The spring game is going to be on LHA.
I know. I've already thought about
that. What are you going to do?
But there's all these weather reports now left and right. One and done? We have to have some premium content that doesn't get interrupted.
Well, I will say that because my woman's in, you know, the marketing, advertising industry. And these days, there are very few things that they know that the audience is going to be tuned in for live, because it's a podcast world we live in and it's the streaming world we live in. Sports news.
Yeah.
Always gets people to tune in live, right? And weather porn is a part of that. That's why when there's a bad weather storm,
I know, but it's all these fear tactics.
The local stations go straight to weather.
Yeah.
Whoa! You know, then they go to the green screen. That's their that weather porn helps them, because that's news, and news is something people still watch live. People don't watch anything live. They don't. And sports.
That's why I'm not surprised I'm finding out that Jeff Zucker is asking them to make sure the death toll is always on CNN. I understand how y'all play this. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
And fear porn is a huge part of it.
Fear porn's a big part of it.
It's
man.
A big part of it.
So,
here's the other thing, too.
Fear porn interrupted your one and done.
It did, which I'm not cool with. So I want to talk to the weather people. I want to talk to.
And what's the weather report? What's bad? What's happening?
Oh, I don't. Look, it's cloudy outside. It's drizzling.
Is it a tornado warning?
There's severe thunderstorm warnings.
Okay.
There's a shot at hail in parts of the area.
I already got hail. You get a nice check.
Is that how it works?
It's a good deal.
I can only get it once per year.
I could use another dose
during the snow vid.
Was it?
Hmm?
Yeah. No, we've had weather reports through like three of our segments today, generally.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just you, Katie. You're not being singled out by the National Weather Service.
There you go.
Well, it's just too many reports, and it gets back to that fear porn. It's too much stuff. And the other thing too is that when I'm on the cable and all of a sudden they give you some type of alert, or sometimes it's just this is a emergency check, right?
Oh,
and they're doing those a lot more now.
Emergency broadcast.
So if I get through that and then turn to another channel, don't reset it on me. And they reset it on you. You have to go through the whole thing again.
This is very true. Yeah. I know, it's kind of the boy that cried wolf. Don't overstimulate me with emergencies and panic. Exactly.
They could say, Kevin, there's 10 people outside your place with a gun.
And then you would
I'd strap up. Get out of here.
You just move
Alexa,
on. Exactly.
Whatever your name is.
We're desensitized to it, so, you know. be on the lookout for the Amber Alerts.
I'm just desensitive as a person. We're unsensitive desensitive.
You are desensitive.
I've got all that stuff turned off. I don't even have Amber Alerts turned on my phone.
Hey,
I just don't
want
to be woken up in the middle of the night. It's somewhere in the settings.
No, don't turn it off. What if there's a missing kid and you are in the vicinity of the missing kid?
The missing kid is always in McAllen or Salado.
That's what I'm saying. They're always in El Paso.
Why are they always in McAllen?
I'm not going to see him. I'm only staying here all day long.
So true.
You could actually put most parts of Austin and it wouldn't hit me.
That white Subaru Outback is not making its way to Austin anytime soon.
No, they're going to Colorado or New Mexico. Look there.
PK's right, though, about McAllen. It comes up a lot.
No, that's what I said earlier. Like, McAllen, yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Find those damn kids.
I don't know.
Anyway. Don't turn off your Amber Alerts, people. Keep them on. Don't be like BK.
Show me how to turn off. I don't know I don't know any Ambers. I'm okay. And so I'm not going to help you out. I don't know any Ambers. I don't know any kids.
Oh, man.
I don't look at kids if they're out.
Unreal.
You shouldn't be looking at kids if they're out.
Exactly.
Nobody wants you looking at their kids if they're out.
It's
creepy. You're staring at other people's kids. They'll get mad. They'll call the police
on you. What are you doing right now? Well, I'm looking for this guy's kid. What?
I'm looking for a kid.
Yeah, I'm looking for a kid.
He's four, blonde hair. Yeah.
McAllen kid. Is Zuzu Trooper kid. I'm looking for a kid.
I like them blonde and blue eyes. That's what I'm looking for, all right?
Oh,
just on the prowl, on the lookout here for a kid.
That would be
just trying to help out society.
Unreal.
All right, let's get to some Texas football.
Yes, let's get to some player audio.
Let's get to a guy who it was good to hear his name because I didn't think that we were going to hear his name mentioned as a standout.
And that's David Bender.
That is.
And we've got some cuts from him, a player availability earlier today down on the 40 acres. We have some audio from Denzel Okafor. We'll get to that in a second, but we also played some of it early in the show. Go to hornfm.com to check out the podcast there. But David Bender was asked, who is standing out on defense? And he mentions a name that might surprise you. Surprise me.
Well, really the guys that are standing out to me on defense the most really right now are just the more vocal guys, the guys who just really sort of work and hustle. For instance, there would be a Ray Thornton. Him coming into this program, I was really questionable on who he was, and I approached him, and he's taught me some things that I really picked up in practice. And his experience has taught me some things. And we have people like Jaron Thompson, who he may be young, but he has leadership qualities that I respect, and I just want to emulate more. And we have people like Chris Adamore. Chris, he's a worker every day. Every day, despite what he has going on, he comes there every day, and I feed off of that energy. And
so there is David Benda right there talking about players who are standing out on defense. Rod B., we have heard Ray Thornton's name mentioned a number of times. Sark has brought him up a time or two, and now David Benda bringing up Ray Thornton. He is creating an impact in his early days down on the 40.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I mean, LSU recruits at a really high level, so even guys who, and he is the guy that played at LSU, by the way.
Yeah.
Wasn't just a guy that went to LSU that didn't work out there. No, he actually started for LSU, played inside linebacker, middle linebacker for him at times, so he can play all across, but now he's going to be playing that hybrid defensive end outside linebacker position, and it looks like he's acclimating really well there. I think for him, I just want to know what type of pass rusher he is. Seems like he's a solid player at that position and seems like he's going to work out there really well for them. You know, Joseph Osai brought an element of pass rushing ability that I'm not sure if Ray Thorne's going to bring that. That would be my only question, and not that I'm being that critical of him. I think he's going to be great. I wonder if they'll have to manufacture more pass rush or scheme up their pass rush, if you will, and manufacture pressure, or if they're going to be able to get it more organically with those hybrid defensive ends. That's going to be one of the big questions next year.
Time up blitzes and make sure that you were coming from spots that
and
you aren't necessarily looking for.
Pete Kwiatkowski likes to do it anyway, right? I mean, he loves he loves to scheme up pressure with twists and stunts up front. He's going to bring blitzes from the second level. He also does what they call kind of the faux blitzes, if you will, where they'll fake like they're blitzing. He does a lot of that to try to free up different pass rushers and free up different players to get them in to really collapse the pocket. So I just don't know if they're going to be doing more of that or if Ray Thorne will be able to give them more organic pressure.
My biggest question about him was he going to have was going to be too light in the ass to play in the middle? And could he play in the middle? And it seems like they're moving him around a little bit.
seems like he's not playing that much in the middle.
Not at all.
More of an edge guy, kind of in that Joseph Osa.
That's what we thought coming out of LSU, but we had talked about that maybe cross-training him.
Yeah, why not? Because they need bodies inside. Right. Now, it may be a good sign that they don't need him to cross-train inside because at LSU he played inside and played outside linebacker. Maybe they don't need him because Jalen Ford's or stepping or Bender.
Or Bender, yeah.
Bender's looking really good. Yep. So maybe it was something they were going to do out of necessity, and maybe right now they're thinking, hey, we look, these young linebackers are starting to separate.
Or maybe he just looks really good on the edge.
Maybe he's looking really good on the edge.
How deep are they on the edge, though, gentlemen? I mean, I feel great about the defensive tackles. But, yeah, that's my thing. It's like, I would love to cross-train Ray Thorne. It sounds great, but it's like, you just got to make sure you have enough edge players, too. Like all of the linebacker positions, right? Whether they're that edge, Joseph Osai, Jack type position, or the guys in the middle, feels like you're not that deep there. What about Chris Adamora, guys? The other name that David Benda mentioned as a guy who's standing out. David Benda said he's a guy who brings it every single day despite what's going on. He's got high energy. KD, your thoughts? You know, we're trying to figure out exactly what Chris Adamora's role is going to be in this defense. He's a guy who's played a couple of different positions during his UT career. Your thoughts on him and maybe where he fits in PK's defense.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. Do you put him at safety? Do you put him at nickel? Do you try and move him around a little bit? And I'm curious to see what the safeties look like, and I think they may play off of that. So we've seen Tyler Owens back there. We've seen him on Twitter talking about maybe playing linebacker. Obviously, if there's a role that fits best for him, maybe that nickel spot may be it. Then if he fits there and you've got stuff in the back end taken care of, then go for it. But I don't know. This is where I'm going to trust Coach Pete and kind of see how it plays into their system. Because one thing we do know, Rod, is that guys like Adamora in previous systems, Kwiatkowski can find a different role for them. He's had hybrid safeties playing linebacker before or that in that area.
Yeah, some would even say he prefers that type of
Buda
skill
Baker
set.
Type.
Yep, those types of players. I'm with you. I trust Pete Kwiatkowski that he's a creative problem solver and that one of the problems he has right now is the lack of experience and the lack of proven commodities at linebacker, especially the inside linebacker specifically. Well, even outside linebacker, that hybrid position we talked about, they just don't seem very deep there. You know, you want to lean on the positions that you are deep at, right? If that's the case, we know the interior defensive line, they're really deep there, and I think they're deeper in the secondary now too. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're experimenting with some sub packages with some of those safeties playing at linebacker depth potentially, or maybe with some dime sub packages, or maybe a what they call a peso, which is a big nickel package, something like that. I wouldn't doubt if they're doing some of that right now, just in anticipation potentially of those young linebackers not separating. But for what we hear, the good news is those young linebackers, David Benda, starting to separate. And if that's the case, and you can get a guy like Jalen Ford to also start to separate, that'd be really good news, because you know Overshown's going to come back and immediately be a starter for you.
Yeah.
You want to try to find, the hope is try to find two starters at the inside linebacker position in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys you feel like that those guys can give you starting reps. If that's the case, I think you're sitting pretty come training camp.
Is that what peso translates to?
No, but that is, I think Dave Aranda was the first one I saw with the, it's called, he calls it a peso. And Kwiatkowski, Ian Boyd threw this out there too, had a great piece about it inside Texas a while ago, so I'll give him credit as well. Well, he talked about the peso, which is kind of just a form of the big nickel. Obviously, peso, if you're trying to count it out, the nickel is 5 dBs, but dime,
less than one,
dime doesn't make any damn sense either, because dime is 10, and that's 6 dBs.
10 dBs on the field.
Yeah, and they tell a quarter is 7 dBs, and yet a quarter is 25 cents, so it doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, 7 times 3 plus 4 is 25, so that's why it's a quarter, dude. That doesn't make sense. Well, it'll be Pete Kwiatkowski's job to find the right combination of players to make this Texas defense succeed in 2021. Rod B., I know you could tell the people about a pretty good combination yourself.
Oh, that is a man, that was a nice little softball you lofted up for me right there. I appreciate it. Yeah, a winning combination, a dynamic duo. Our friends at Pepsi in the great state of Texas. That's right, folks. Pepsi, America's favorite soft drink, is teaming up with Texas, America's greatest state, to celebrate the tastemakers of Texas. And now it's time to celebrate the taste of your Texas with the tastemakers who combine the pride of the great state of Texas and the spirit of Pepsi. Texas, the great state, and Pepsi's great taste. Everything in Texas is larger than life, and the spirit of Pepsi adds flavor to life. Pepsi, like Texas, has something for everyone. Pepsi Original, Pepsi Zero Sugar, Pepsi Wild Cherry, and the newest flavor, Pepsi Mango. Check out the Texas Tastemakers at PepsiTasteOfYourTexas.com.
Well done there, sir.
Yeah, you well done. That was a nice softball. I knocked it out of the park.
And you did?
It's too easy.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, before we play this next...
You loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. Of course I did. I'm the best at this, dude. It's unreal. Before I play this next soundbite, gentlemen, I want to ask y'all a question. And I think you're going to answer the way I want you to answer, which will feed us into this soundbite. Of all of the
political show?
No. Of all of the position coaches who were hired by Steve Sarkisian this offseason, which one do you think has the toughest job this year in particular? Of the assistants that Sark hired, we'll take out the coordinators too. Just talking about position coaches.
Offense and defense.
Offense and defense. Who do y'all think has the toughest job?
That's good.
Dre is up there. I call him Dre.
Dre.
We're that tight. Yeah.
Don't forget about him.
And then the Choder. The Choder may be it.
The Choder's got a hell of a job.
Yeah.
Holman Cutler. Holman Cutler.
We were laughing about that earlier.
What do I want to call him? Holman.
Holman Cutler. We've had seven linebacker coaches in 5 years.
Coleman Hutzler has done a really good job. He did a really good job with them last year. But I think Katie's got a good point about the Choder. Just because, you have DeMarvion Overshown dealing with his injury in the spring. You may be transitioning a Tyler Owens there, but you have so many unproven commodities. I think wide receivers should be easier for Andre Coleman because in the spring, of course, you don't have Troy O'Meary. He's limited, and you don't have, Jake Smith because of an injury. But the truth is, you got some talent there, some high-caliber talent there.
And Xavier Worthy in hopefully a week or two.
Nice. That would be nice.
Michigan transfer.
I'm going to go with, honestly, I might go with Kyle Flood because the offensive line has just been such a disaster here at Texas for so long. And Denzel Okafor said he's going on his fourth offensive line coach, and they haven't been able to develop those high-caliber blue-chip offensive linemen. Love the Jeff Howe stat, last blue-chip offensive lineman Texas developed into an NFL draftable player was Justin Blaylock. Everybody after that has been a three-star or a tight end. They move to lineman. Mm-hmm. Kyle Flood's got to change that. Yes. So,
Rod, I liked your first answer better, and KD, I liked your second answer better.
Okay.
But you guys both mentioned him, which was what I was looking for. David Benda was asked about Jeff Choate and the job he's...
The National Weather Service in Austin, San Antonio has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for East Central Bastrop County, Lee County, Northeastern Fayette County, until 6:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time. At 5:22 p.m. Central Daylight Time, severe thunderstorms were located along a line extending from near Dime Box to 6 miles east of Fedor to Page, moving southeast at 40 miles per hour. Hazard, quarter-size hail. Source, radar indicated. Impact, damage to vehicles is expected. Locations impacted include Giddings, Shelby, Fayetteville, Dime Box, Round Top, Page, Lake Somerville State Park and Trailway, Carmine, Northrop, Warrington, Ledbetter, Waldeck, Lobau, Hills, Lincoln, Neshanitz, Mannheim, Serban, Old Dime Box and Warda. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building.
Great job last year.
He did.
And I think he had the toughest job last year. I think Jeff Choate probably has the toughest job this year, so we'll see what he can do. But nice to hear the players give him some love, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I think he actually showed her. I've heard really good things about him just from asking about coaches behind the scenes. Why are you laughing?
Because it's funny. It's funny.
Chip Brown said that's what the players call him, the Choder.
I know. It's Choate, though.
It sounds dirty. Sounds a little.
It is.
Borderline pornographic.
Number two, all up.
I knew a baseball player, Randy Choate, and they didn't call him Choder. And baseball players will call you anything.
They should have called him Choder.
They probably
wonder if he likes being called Choder. Yeah. I don't know. We got to ask him about that one day. All right, let's get to Rod's rant of the day coming up next. I want to continue the Texas football discussion. Sark is hinting at something, and I'm hoping he's not playing with my emotions. I'm ready to say that I believe that Sark is going to implement something that I have been praying for on the 40 Acres for some time. If he does, he'll become a saint in my book. I'll talk about that on the other side in Rod's Rant of the Day right here on the Triple Option with RBKD right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
Obviously, the top story this evening is going to be some hail damage, a lot of hail damage, particularly over the northern parts of the area, Pflugerville and Round Rock and parts of Cedar Park and Leander, Liberty Hill, those areas getting all kinds of reports of hail damage, unfortunately. That is obviously going to be foremost on folks' minds. And again, the heavy rain that has occurred over the northern parts of the area causing delays up along I-35 over on 1431 east of Toll 130. We've got a crash there. 183A right at the 183 interchange in Cedar Park, a wreck there. Northbound I-35, Grand Avenue Parkway. Northbound I-35, Palmer Lane. Northbound I-35, Ben White. A crash from earlier has cleared up. We've got extra delays here in the city of Austin. We also have some rain activity, which has occurred here in the city as well. Some lighter rain, not the heavy stuff with the hail, but enough to slick in the streets. So it is really nasty out there just about everywhere you go on the roads here this evening. It's going to be a tough one. That's traffic.
Experience a better way to buy at Henna Chevrolet.
I tend to be a bit grouchy when it comes to car dealers, but Henna's level of service quickly had me at ease, and I actually enjoyed the experience.
I don't know if I just bought a car or made a bunch of friends, but I'm more than okay with that.
For a lower price made easy, find new roads at Henna Chevrolet or HennaChevyAustin.com.
Henna Chevrolet, we'll always stand by you.
Henna Chevrolet takes the stress out of car buying.
The compassion, the respect, the savings that I experienced from the Henna sales team were second to none.
We treat you how we'd want to be treated.
Henna provided the most respectful, professional, and caring experience I've ever had at a dealership. And I saved almost $5,000, too.
For a lower price made easy, find new roads at Henna Chevrolet or HennaChevyAustin.com.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day, and I want to talk some Texas football. I've been doing a lot of research about Sark and what this offense is going to look like, and he's given some subtle hints just based on his first impressions of the Texas football team, their first spring, of what the offense may end up being, or at least what the focal points and the main concepts of the offense may be. We know that Bijan Robinson is going to be the identity of the offense. If it's not, then Sark should be fired. But Sark's smarter than Tom Herman, so Bijan Robinson will be the focal point of the offense, and why not, right? Bijan Robinson last year ended up having one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen for a freshman player, period, and he didn't even really get to play. Held back by Tom Herman for most of that season, but still averaged over 8 yards a carry, 13 yards a catch, nearly 9 yards per touch, and still almost 6 yards per carry after contact. Guy's just a freak, and he's special. Denzel Okafor talked about that in his recent media availability. So I'm just doing some research and looking over some of the quotes from Sark in the post-practice media availabilities and in some of the post-scrimmage media availabilities and some of the things he's talking about. And I'm starting to put together a little bit of a picture how I think the offense is going to look. And I'm almost certain that I think you're going to see some two back sets and some 21 or 20 personnel packages. Two backs, zero tight ends, or two backs, one tight end. Didn't see a lot of it last year, even though Blackstreet almost was wrong. I guess we saw it a little bit. I was almost certain, because I had this same rant when Mike Yurcich was hired. And I said, Texas has a lot of unproven commodities on offense, but in the backfield, they have a strength, right? That's they really have a profound strength in their backfield, because Bijan Robinson was just coming in then, and we all knew he was a 5-star. But you had Keontae Ingram, who's still considered one of the better young running backs in the Big 12. You had Rojo switching there, so we knew Rojo was going to continue to ascend and get better. And, you know, hell, even Danny Young at the time, I guess he took some time off for the COVID year. But we still knew that the running back position, if you include the H, which I did, Jordan Whittington and Jake Smith in that too, you just had an embarrassment of riches there at the running back position to choose from. And when I looked at Mike Yurcich's background, and I probably had this rant with you guys, you know, it seemed like that Mike Yurcich was going to take advantage of all of that talent in the backfield. And plus, you had unproven commodities really at wide receiver, right? You didn't have a lot of proven commodities there. You had lost a ton of talent at wide receiver with, you know, Colin Johnson over the years and then Lil Jordan Humphrey over the years. And, of course, Devin Duvernay. So I think we all figured, oh, maybe they'll concentrate more of the passing game, concentrate more of the offensive identity in the backfield. That really didn't happen. I think they went with fool's gold and tried to continue the same passing game concepts they had when they had NFL wide receivers across the board, and it didn't really work out for Texas that well. And the reason I thought Mike Yurcich was going to end up throwing out more two-back sets was because I remember watching in 2018, he did it against Texas, yeah. Right? In 2018, when Texas played Oklahoma State, when he was the offensive coordinator there, when Mike Yurcich had at his disposal, I think he had L.D. Brown was there, Justice Hill, Chuba Hubbard, King, I forgot King's first name, but he had four tailbacks, really good players. And against Texas that day, when they beat Texas with Corn Dog Cornelius there, Taylor Cornelius as the quarterback, they ran. And 50, I think it was around 51% of their plays had two backs in the backfield. 27% of those plays had two tailbacks in the backfield. It was a brilliant concept because they used misdirection. They used a lot of pre-snap motion to get the linebackers from Texas caught up in traffic and then used those tailbacks to get to the second level, or reach the second level, and to block the Texas linebackers and defensive backs. And it was just a really brilliant scheme. They ran the ball 52% of the time with two tailbacks in the backfield. I figured, oh, Yurcich coming to Texas, Keyonte Ingram, Rojo, Bijan Robinson, they're going to run a ton of two-back sets. Well, turns out all last year we only saw 12 plays with two tailbacks in the backfield. Six of those were victory formations against Baylor, West Virginia, and UTEP. So only six actual plays during game situations where Texas had two tailbacks in the backfield. Three of them with Jordan Whittington in the backfield. That was against Colorado. Finally, somebody decided to get creative against Colorado. They ran a 21 personnel package, two backs, one tight end, except Jordan Whittington ended up being one of the tailbacks, one of the 21, all right, one of that two backs in the backfield. And Texas ran for 66 yards on one of those plays, 8 yards on another one of those plays, and 3 yard gain on another one of those plays. So, talking about 77 yards total on those three plays, averaging over 25 yards per rush on the plays where they decided to put two tailbacks in the backfield. So, on the season, if you look at the quarterback keeper they had early in the year versus TCU with two tailbacks in the backfield and the two incomplete passes they had against TCU. So, somebody against TCU thought two tailbacks in the backfield would be a nice formation to break out. The break tendency, except they didn't do it enough, in my opinion, and they didn't do it with the right personnel because it was with Keyonte Ingram and Rojo. Should have been with Bijan and Rojo, or Bijan and Keyonte Ingram. So six total plays last year, totaling 82 yards with two tailbacks in the backfield. You still average over 13 yards per play with two tailbacks in the backfield. Very small, minuscule sample size, and you average 20 yards per rush, or 20 yards per carry on the four run plays when you had two tailbacks in the backfield. Very small sample size, I know. My point is, I think Texas can have a lot of success with it. And even when they did it, the minuscule amount they decided to do it last year, they had success. Now, let's go to Sark's comments, because Sark's been hinting at that he loves the running backs that Texas has right now. Now, he said publicly, on the record, he said that he believes the running back position frames the identity of a football team. So he's already talking about building conceptually around the running back position. He's also said that, and this is actually, I take this quote from Rojo. Rojo said, Sark has done a really good job putting the pieces in the right place in this offense. And he said the running backs are going to be, quote, lethal threats in the offense under Sark. Now, go back to Sark. In the offseason, we studied plenty of coaching clinics that he's had, and on multiple occasions, Sark has said publicly he believes the running back position is the most underutilized weapon in the passing game. So it kind of goes to what Rojo's already saying. They're going to be maximized in Sark's offense, even weaponized, you could say, in Sark's offense, especially in the passing game. And then I saw this this quote from, I believe it was Burnt Orange Nation. I threw it out there. I want to make sure I give them credit because I believe they're the ones that I saw have it. But when you start looking at what Sark has seen so far this offseason from the running backs, He talks about Rojo and he says, quote, another guy who's kind of fallen into the same category as Jay Witt, because he's a big Jay Witt fan, too. He said, is Rojo. He said, Roshan has done everything we've asked for from day one, and he's worked really hard in the weight room. He's practicing really well, and he went out and played really well today. That Jay Witt comment, Sark said about Jordan Whittington. He's a guy who's learned our system really well. It's probably the first along of understanding and can play multiple positions at the wide receiver position right now. He's been a playmaker so far throughout the beginning of spring ball, and he's also been a real asset on special teams. That's really cool, too. Minus sidebar, putting your best players on special teams. Pretty cool. But Jordan Whittington, who I still consider, I know you shouldn't say he's an H because that was Tom Herman's philosophy and terminology, but I still consider him to be a hybrid. I call him a wing back, a guy who can also help you as a threat in the backfield in the running game, but also be a wide receiver or a receiving threat when you need him to be. And now you count Rojo. And then we fast forward to a tweet from Anwar Richardson that I saw recently about the running backs. And I think this will get Longhorn fans excited. Anwar tweeted out, this was a couple of days ago, 5 days ago. Texas football coach Sarkisian said they have Bijan Robinson, but also have Roshan Johnson. He said Johnson is doing everything they have asked. Sarkisian said Johnson is playing very well, and they may need a different approach to a one-back offense this year. Ding, 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 ding,
there
ding,
it
ding,
is.
Ding.
Give me that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Joe Cook tweeted out, same day, Sarkisian, quote, as far as personnels on offense, I want them all, end quote. I have a firm belief that the more things we do really well, the harder we are to stop. We've heard Sark say that before. So he's saying he wants a lot of different personnel packages. He's already saying we may need to look into more than just one running back in the backfield because of the way that Rojo is performing right now in spring practice, demanding reps. And I went back to 2017 because I've been following Sark and trying to really do some cyber stalking on his offense philosophy. In 2017, when he followed my man Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta, when Shano first went to the 49ers, he did not want to break them away from their 21 personnel philosophy cold turkey.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that would be irresponsible. So to transition them from running more 21 personnel than anybody in the NFL, because Shano loves his 21 personnel. He did it with an actual fullback. Sark decided to transition them. We're still with two tailbacks in the backfield, but he ran more 20 personnel, more 21 personnel with two tailbacks, not a fullback. So Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman on the field at the same time. So we know that he has it in his offensive repertoire, if you will, to run two tailbacks in the backfield at the same time. We also, Texas has a little bit of history with it. He's thinking about it right now. He's already mentioning it to Anwar Richardson and talking about it a little with my man Joe Cook as well. Shout out to Joe Cook podcast.
Good podcast today. Yeah. I already listened to it.
Oh, really good?
Yeah.
Nice. Shout out. 1-0 podcast.
Yeah, lots check it of out good if football you need
to. All right. So, and also go back to his time at Bama when he had four first round wide receivers, Judy, Waddle, Ruggs, and Devontae Smith. He insisted upon running what they call the red personnel package, which was four wide receivers on the field at the same time, because he insisted upon putting their best athletes on the field at the same time. So he also has that in his background, that he wants to put the best guys, the best players, the best playmakers on the field at the same time. And there's no doubt that Rojo and Bijan, I think they both fit into that category right now. Also something to consider. If you are, I'm a hit football theory guy, so I dive deep into the history. People forget, when they see two tailbacks in the backfield, they instantly start thinking to themselves, oh, they're going to run the football. But the West Coast offense was originally a two-back offense.
Yes.
Right? If you forget that. But it was a fullback. It was still a two-back. The original air raid, if you go back to Valdosta State and Kentucky, it was a two-back offense.
Yep.
Hell, Mommy originally was running two tailbacks in the backfield, two backs in the backfield.
He was running a ton of 20.
Ton of 20. He loved
ton
20.
Of 20.
Yeah, because he knew.
That's what I remember Kentucky back in the day.
Great point. Because he knew the benefits of it. And actually, at one point, I'll give Jeff Traylor and Jay Norvell credit. In 2015, they ran a pony package here at Texas, Deontay Foreman and Chris Warren on the field together.
Yeah.
Because they knew. So it just goes back to putting
pony
your best.
Package. I love
it was nice to put your best players on the field together. And here are some numbers. numbers about 21 personnel sets in the NFL because Shanahan swears by them, so I got them from my 49er research. So if you look at the success rate of 21 personnel in the NFL, success rate is 55%. Success rate means you get 40% of the yards you need that you need for that down on first down, 60% of the yardage needed on second down, 100% of the yardage needed on third down. So a 55% success rate, which is a really good success rate. 11 personnel only has a 43% success rate. If you look at the amount of times that San Fran ran 21 personnel, it's around 61% of the time. And they average 5.7 yards per carry out of their 21 personnel. 9.7 yards per attempt throwing out of their 21 personnel. Now, I would say they're really good at it, and the 49ers are really good at it, but it's really successful across the NFL. People just don't run it as much, and of course don't run it as well as the 49ers do. So my point is, I think Texas can utilize this, and Jordan Whittington is the perfect player to unlock this this potential, right? He's the perfect mechanism to unlock it. He is, I don't know if you guys remember The Matrix. In The Matrix, they had this character called the Keymaker. And in The Matrix, he's a computer program that can create shortcut commands and create cheat codes, basically, that can give quick access to various levels of The Matrix. And that's what Jordan Whittington can do. He gives you different access to multiplicity. With him on the field, say he's your back in the backfield and 20 personnel, two back, zero tight ends, you can instantly go from 20 to 10.
To 10. I was
with
just
a simple motion
that.
Or
yes.
a shift.
Yes.
And then
it makes it tough for them to guess your personnel and to do something about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And the defense is itting themselves.
Right.
They're going crazy because the linebacker may be matched up on or a safety matched up on them. And if you're in 21 personnel, you can go from 21 to 11 very easily mm-hmm. as well. And vice versa, by the way. Come out there in 11, go back to 21, come out there in 10, go to 20, and then find a way to isolate the mismatches with a guy like that. He is truly a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
And
if it's Bijan, you could really go from 20 to 5 wide.
By the way,
right? If you have both those guys as your 20.
Exactly. You can go empty formation, which, by the way, Texas was great in empty formation last year.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Jordan Whittington is your Rubik's Cube. They say Rubik's Cube has, what, like 430 quintillion different combinations. He can allow you to be multiple. So I think you're going to see 20 and 21 personnel this year, and I think Jordan Whittington is going to be the key to it as that wing back. But you're going to see Rojo and Bijan on the field together, and I think you should.
Hope you're right.
I know, I do too.
Good stuff. Rod's rant of the day
here on
the Triple Option with RBKD. When we return, a little NBA talk. A lifetime Longhorn is hanging him up. Plus, Luka Magic hit Beale Street last night. It's next.
Got to get it in. Here's Luka. Gets it away. It's good. A Doncic dagger. He wins
it. Three.
As he was stumbling, he somehow got it to go.
Oh, Luka. I was just enjoying that. I figured our Mavs guy would jump in on there. BK looked at me. He's like, "You going to go on the air now? Or are we just going to, we want to play that one again?"
Hey, we'll listen to the Supremes. Hey,
we can listen to Supremes and listen to that. I know it's still early on in his career, but this guy just has a feel, and he's got a feel for the moment, too. Pretty impressive stuff. I was watching that thing. It was on ESPN, I believe, and was back and forth, and then saw it on Twitter, but luckily still had it going to where I could go back and rewatch the very ending of it, and I rewatched it like three
it's
or
amazing.
Four times. It really is. I mean, the way he's leaning in and to get the foot behind, it's pretty impressive stuff.
Nonsensical, some of the stuff he does.
It was a floater.
Yeah,
he floated in a three.
Yeah.
Like that in itself is impressive.
Right.
But obviously to do it to win a game at the buzzer, unreal. 22 years young. He's younger than three of the starters on Baylor's national championship team.
And
by the way, he's already been a first-time All-NBA player.
He's younger than one of the returning Texas basketball players, Andrew Jones.
Yeah, by almost a couple of years.
Wow, yeah.
to put it in perspective.
Local perspective,
yeah.
He is unreal, man. I pinch myself that he is on my favorite team. And honestly, look, I say this all the time with any athlete that good. I just respect greatness. I love watching LeBron James.
Yeah.
Never been on any of my favorite teams. Love watching Tom Brady. Never been on any of my favorite teams. I love watching greatness. And that's what Luka Doncic is, man. He is a special, special talent, only 22. I'm not putting him on the level of LeBron or Tom Brady right now. Nothing like that.
No, that's what I heard. I just enjoy.
I mean, look, Luka's doing stuff that hasn't been done since LeBron was that age. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's like that guy right now. He's the next closest thing at that age to what we saw from LeBron when LeBron came out of high school into the league in the early aughts. It's just fun to watch, man. Really is. And that was a huge game for the Mavs, too, because they are fighting with Memphis at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff standings.
Seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, that got Dallas within one game of Portland for the sixth seed in the West. And normally, not a huge deal going from 7-6, but this year, huge deal because of that little play-in tournament for seeds 7-10. So everybody's trying to avoid the 7 seed.
Which Luka's not a fan of.
That was a massive shot. No, Luka's
neither
not
is
a
Mark
fan.
Cuban.
Neither is Mark Cuban. And neither am I.
I'm not either. Good to hear that. I'm not either.
Yeah.
You probably could have expected I'm not, but good to hear you're not.
Okay.
Glad to hear that you're not.
And stop expecting things from me.
Oh. Did I say I expect
No, I'm just
them?
Talking to the people.
Okay. Well, I'm expecting
Specs
you
text line.
To respond to me right now.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because, look, when Luka comes out and says it, when Mark Cuban comes out and says it,
yeah.
when BK comes out and says it, all those guys are Mavs fans. Of course they're pissed about it because the Mavs are being affected by it right now. But the fact that you're saying it as a non-Mavs fan, it tells you that it's kind of ridiculous.
Well, here's my question. The same thing with baseball. If they do something like this with 162, why are we doing this? Is this all masturbation? I mean, can we actually get to the act?
I didn't see that quote from Adam Silver.
Should be foreplay?
Well, yeah, but I mean, which I mean,
how do your intimate sessions go?
I turn it around. Foreplay is the last thing I do.
Foreplay at the end?
Uh-huh.
I'm sure she loves it.
In play.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're like 12 play. You're like, hey,
12 play. No, but why are we doing this if you're playing? I understand you could say, well, because the first, what, four?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no.
Look, last year it made sense in the bubble because the season was split in half and it was shortened heavily. So it made sense to do this to make sure you got like a fair postseason. But yeah, when you're playing, I know they're playing 72 instead of 82, but that's a big enough sample size to where you don't need to do this at all. And NBA players are already pissed with how many games they're playing in such a short amount of time. Jamal Murray tore his ACL. I mean, how many injuries have there been to star players this year?
Yeah.
It's partially because of that, and the players are pissed. And now the league is like, no, you got to play more games. Like 72 is not enough to get you in the playoffs. You got to play more games here. So it's not just the teams that are fighting for the 7 seed
72,
right now.
You mean 82.
It's 72 this year.
Or 7, that's
it's
right, short. It is 72.
Yeah, so it's...
But they're going back to 82 next year, right?
Right. COVID thing, because it was such a short off season.
Fair.
But they're still making the players play a ridiculous schedule by normal NBA standards. So players are pissed about it. It's not just the Mavs, but obviously the Mavs are the team being affected by it the most at the moment.
Yeah, no, I've heard LeBron and a lot of guys complain about it. I mean, that's why they were mad about the All-Star game. They didn't want to play the All-Star,
right? No, they didn't.
Because they thought it's been too much wear and tear on them. Well, they're cracking down on the load management, too.
Oh, yeah. That's becoming an issue.
Is that a masturbation thing?
Yeah, it is.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I wasn't my intention
to see Adam Silver talk about
And once again, I do foreplay after load management. I've got it all messed up. But it makes it fun.
There's a lot messed up with it.
It makes it fun.
I don't want to know your definition of load management.
I don't think you do.
I don't think I want to know.
I don't think you do.
Just a tip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Certainly we have to open up the levies when we're managing that part of it.
I still don't want to know.
Well, you definitely don't want to know.
I'm going to act like I don't know.
Let's go to break so I can maybe be around on hour four.
It's been a short segment, but it's been too long already.
It was all innuendo.
Hey, we're talking Mavs.
Talking Mavs. Talking NBA. Big win for the Mavs. The NBA news, the Lifetime Longhorn news. KD talked about it a bunch in One and Done, but LaMarcus Aldridge announcing earlier today that he is retiring, dealing with an irregular heartbeat. Scary situation, but hopefully all is well for LaMarcus, putting the cap on a 15-year career in the league.
Great career. It was a great segment, like it usually is, but the weather people, I wanted to let you know that it's hailing in Denver. So, well, actually, Cedar Park, but get different. To hornfm.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When we return here on the Triple Option with RBKD, we'll talk some Texas Longhorn basketball, some official announcements made in regards to Chris Beard's initial coaching staff, plus some great news for Texas women's hoops, too. It's next.